Welcome to Girls in Heels. I'm your host, Cooper Lawrence, my co-host, Teresa Aprea, and Nicole Napolitano, also known as the twins from Bravo's Real Housewives of New Jersey, are here.
Hello, ladies.
Oh, my God, it's finally spring/summer/. It's a million degrees out. I can't believe it.
And I'm usually freezing in the studio.
And
I am so really warm today.
Today.
I see we're both in our tanks, which I love. Skull and bone.
Boons.
I don't know.
And why did you call her high, sexy, furry girl? Why furry
Furry
girl?
Mama.
Why furry mama?
Because she has an animal, so she's a mama. She's a furry mama.
Yeah, I don't have human babies.
Oh, so happy belated, like, I don't know, I late Mother's Day. Because she's a mama to a
happy belated furry
to
mama
a doggy.
Day.
You know, thanks. Thanks for reminding me. That guy got me nothing.
He got you nothing.
Oh, nothing.
Marconi.
He's very like that.
No more bones for Marconi. That's it.
Wait, so you guys are moms and moms and your twins and daughters and your family is crazy. Like Mother's Day at your house must be bananas.
It was so much fun. We had a beautiful Mother's Day. We went to Teresa's restaurant in Brooklyn, Ponte Vecchio's, and we were with our cousins and aunts and uncles, my mom and our beautiful children. Which I was so happy. I just saw today on Instagram that Anthony put a beautiful picture of the three of us. And he wrote something so beautiful.
Well, what does it say?
To the most special, beautiful woman in my life.
Didn't
always.
He say something like, you'll always be the most, you have to remember it. It was so special.
It was so.
I think it was something like, you're the most, special person in my life or something.
It was beautiful.
I was driving, so I didn't get to read it. I just thought it was so sweet.
I know. It was really good. He actually... I'll tell you.
I feel bad for any girl in his life because I got to tell you, she's got a lot of competition.
My son Anthony said, "Will always be the most important woman in my life. Love you. Happy Mother's Day."
Aww.
So I thought that was really sweet. And I was really taken back, too, because it was so beautiful. I mean, they got me these beautiful bouquet of flowers and they wrote me a beautiful card. And it was really nice because even my ex-husband wrote me the most beautiful Mother's Day card.
You're still the mom to his amazing kids.
No,
so.
But he, besides giving me a beautiful card, he wrote me the
it
most.
It took him 6 years.
It took him 6 years, but not only did he write on one page of it, he wrote on two pages of it. Like, thank you for giving me the most beautiful gifts in the wide world.
Aww.
And I'm the father of your children. Like, he really went off.
He really complimented the
he
mother.
He really complimented. Yeah.
Wait, Nicole, is he somebody who doesn't usually express that kind of stuff or express it to you? Was it unusual?
It took 6 years.
No, for real.
It seriously did.
Like he hasn't spoken to you for 6 years, and then suddenly.
No, we have a good relationship. We've spoken in 6 years, and one thing that's always important to me is to always have a good relationship with my ex. And I think for those listening out there, for like moms and dads. You're only hurting the children. Like before we came here, we had stopped somewhere and someone said, it's my daughter's confirmation today and I'm divorced. And she was so aggravated and miserable and I'm going to see my ex-husband there and he always puts me down in front of my daughter and says, how's your boyfriend doing? And how's your mother doing? And very condescending. And I said, listen, just smile, pray through it. Don't stoop to his level. But these parents don't understand that the only people that they're hurting are the children.
Of course.
So you always have to, if you have anything not nice to say, you know what, keep it to yourself or speak amongst the adults, but never ever let the children hear that. And that's how you really, there's so many children that are affected by divorces. And thank God my children are so beautiful. And we're divorced now for 6 years. And they're healthy children.
Well,
because many children go through divorces and they get damaged.
Healthy young men and women out there today. You need to put them first, your kids first.
Right. And any parent that talks to their kid about what's going on in their marriage or their divorce, what they're angry about, is not putting their kids first. They're
You're
putting
right.
their needs first. It's like, I need to get this off my chest and bitch about your mom. And since you know her, I'm going to tell you what a huge bitch she is. And it always works against them because a kid will end up resenting you because the kid
Absolutely.
Doesn't think their mom is a bitch. The kid thinks their mom is a goddess.
Right,
so here
exactly.
you are saying something negative about somebody that I really love a lot. So it does more damage than they realize because now they also have to hate their dad.
Exactly.
Do you know they actually, the courts passed something, I think it was around 5 years. No, it was, no, I'm divorced 6 years. So they just passed it like 6-7 years ago. Now people going through divorce have to take this class. It's a few hours. And the judge will not sign off and give you that gold seal unless you take this class.
If you have kids.
Do you know why?
Children, yes, of course.
Regarding
and it's
parent
about
alienation.
Parenting and parent
right.
alienation.
Parent alienation.
And
right.
they show you film strips and you have to read these books. And three different judges come out and speak to you about that. So it's really...
That's
serious.
That's scary, though, for them to.
So getting back to it, we had a beautiful Mother's Day, though.
No, we
did. It was really a lot of fun.
And that's what I said. I go, my aunt and uncle and them were so cute. They're the Leave It to Beaver family.
Oh,
I love
God.
Them. They're like so appreciative, like that I invited them to the restaurant and I treated them to dinner. So they're just precious, my aunt. And my mom, who I have to say, like, she really, and I told her, I said, Mom, you made us who we are today. You know, like, she was just, I always said, like, she's like, she was Superwoman, you know, from when we were younger and always going, my little Energizer bunny and fun. And really, I think, just taught us really how to enjoy life in every minute. And I think that's what seeing our sons, and my son, he got me a beautiful little gold chain, a little cross on it. And it was so pretty. And it was about faith. And it said, you know, one of those little charm necklaces, you know,
right.
Mom, put this on, make a wish, and always believe. And it was about faith. It was a faith necklace.
Did he pick that out himself?
He did. He always
does. That's amazing.
And it was so sweet. He's like, Mom, read it. Read about the necklace, the meaning behind it. And I said, you know, I told Nicole, now it's springtime. You know, spring is finally here, the weather-wise. I know it starts the end of March, but we've finally been starting to see nice weather after
days. Sunshine.
And sunshine and days after rain. I said, but, you know, there's always, seasons are for a reason. You know, there's a time to sow, a time to reap, a time to
water. I know
that
song.
Right? And it's so true. And I said, you know, Nicole.
Whose song is that?
I don't know. I know that from the Bible. There's reaping and sowing. That's where I know it from.
Okay, there's some 70s song
is there?
About
no, there
yeah,
probably
time
is
to,
about reaping and sowing.
It's probably like Simon and Garfunkel.
It probably is.
That I could, don't
like
care
the 70s,
for. Yeah,
but, you know, and it's so true. I said, Nicole, like, seeing our kids, like, you know, they say, like, you know, you sow, you reap the garden and, you know, plant the seeds and see what happens. You really do see the results. And it's so nice to see our boys, you know, watching them on Mother's Day. All the work you do as a mom and as a dad as well, but now we'll focus on moms because Mother's Day, you really, to see the results is so rewarding. So it was a really awesome day. What, Nicole?
No, I'm just laughing. I can't help but laugh because
why?
I'm thinking.
Okay, wait a second. Sorry. Yeah. It's the birds. And you're going to love this. So
no.
I Google, of course.
You
who,
Google so fast.
Who sings, you know, who sings, like I just put in the lyrics that I knew.
Yeah. Right.
And because I knew the word turn was in there, like turn, turn, turn. So of course what comes up is turn down for what?
Turn down for what?
So I'm like, no, I don't think, I doubt that the lyrics you just said from the Bible
turn
are in
down for
turn
what?
Turn down for what? Time to reap. Time to sow, turn down for what? That would be awesome.
Oh my God, that would be, yeah.
So it's not Wiz Khalifa, it's the birds.
Oh my God, okay. Turn down for what? I
no,
love
I was
rap.
Just laughing because I was just thinking Sunday when I get the time to live into the house.
No, no, we gotta talk about that.
No,
I'm gonna kill her.
What?
Hold, well,
because it was
what?
On Mother's
What's
Day.
What's going on between the two
well,
of you?
No, I just thought it was very funny.
What can you tell me on the air? Put it that way.
No, because on Mother's Day, like, you open up the New York Times Magazine, and all of a sudden, it's like, should they, like, legalize, like, prostitution? And I'm like, this is what they're talking about on Sunday, on Mother's Day? You think they could have, like, brought up, like, maybe another article?
Like, something a little bit more wholesome?
A little bit more wholesome. I mean, it is the time, so I guess I shouldn't
well,
be surprised.
What's your favorite show, Nicole? Have you watched
oh
it? No, it's true. You can't watch it with kids. This is like it's
let's just put
sucks.
It this way. It's on Stars. So the other day I
Girlfriend's
watched
Experience. Have you seen it?
GF Experience.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's
I've
actually
watched a few.
Elvis Presley's daughter. Granddaughter.
That's right, that's right.
Lisa
yeah,
Marie Presley's daughter, yeah.
Right, right, right. Wait a second. Riley Kehoe, right?
Is that her name?
Yeah, I heard about this show. Everyone's talking about this, so this is supposed to be amazing.
Well,
right?
I just downloaded and I watched all 13 of them, so it's only on maybe its fourth episode.
It's very no, but I have to say it is very
interesting.
It's porn.
It's soft porn.
Now that you brought it up, it really is very interesting because for this show to be on and then for now them to be, last week and what? No, just the Sunday. Today's Wednesday.
Sunday.
So it was.
Wait, and you're offended by the New York Times running something about giving rights to prostitutes?
No. They didn't even call them prostitutes. You know what they call them?
Sex workers.
Sex workers.
Well, of course. That's what they are.
That's
they're
what
sex
they are.
Workers.
But wait, they came out from the underground.
Do you know three dozen? Do you know
three
they actually showed
dozen.
Pictures and named
New
them?
York Times Magazine. New York Times Magazine.
No, well, that's good because the problem is these women get exploited. So if you legalize prostitution, then they can't get exploited because then they're their own business.
Right, and that's what
they're saying.
And they
don't have to rely on, you know, these. I mean, look, it's going to happen anyway. I mean, men go to prostitutes. That's not going to change. That's just not. It's simply not going to change. So you might as well give them rights and give them, you know, health care and things that can protect them rather than putting them in these situations that are dangerous.
Well, these aren't sex workers like I grew up and you see on 10th Avenue, prostitutes off the street. These look like normal workers.
Your
I mean,
average
these look like
girl,
cousins,
college
girls, moms. Like some said, you know, they do it for like economic distress, and others say they just do it for choice.
They enjoy it. Yeah.
They enjoy it.
Right.
And with the girlfriend experience, what I've been watching, you know, she's like this law. She's going to law school, and she's brilliant, but.
She's a little bit of a sociopath. I don't know what she is. I think she's like from a narcissist to a sociopath to almost self-loathing. It's so crazy. Cooper, what is that about? I mean, you studied psychology. When you see narcissists, she seems like a narcissist. She loves herself so much.
Right.
But then yet, it's almost... She also has some issues where, to me, I haven't seen all of them, but almost self-loathing. Like, she almost doesn't... I don't know, has a lot of issues with herself as well.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, the thing with narcissism is that when you are so self-focused, you know, if things don't go right for you, you just go batshit crazy because everything should go right. The world should treat you a certain way. So you have an idea of how things should go. It's almost like, you know, the rest of us that have an idea of a just world, when we see injustice, you know, our injustice, because we have big hearts, like our injustice is when somebody else's life is being harmed. Narcissists, the injustice is when their life is being harmed. They can't get past it. You know, so if somebody breaks up with them, if somebody fires them, if somebody doesn't think they're fabulous, any of that kind of stuff could set them off.
I was just amazed. Like, when Nicole told me about this article, I was like, wow. And they did say they came out from the underground because they said it's so one-dimensional how people see them and how they don't, you know, they're always
being... Well, they were suspicious about doing the article because they said they've been, like, disrespected. No, I mean, seriously, disrespected in the past, and it's always one-sided and...
Right.
They look like these, oh my God, some of them
it's
look like Leave It to Beaver girls. Like they look like very simple, plain Janes,
right.
Which you don't really expect.
Which you would think like, so there's a guy that wants that? Because I would think a guy wants like some hot, sexy mama because he probably has plain Jane at home and he's sick of plain Jane. But you know what? Maybe, look, there's
She's doing something right.
There's a lid for every pot. I mean, do you remember Bella Knox? Do you remember that? Do you know that name?
No.
It sounds familiar.
That's the Duke University porn star.
Yes.
Remember,
okay.
She was that really pretty, really smarty pants girl who was at Duke University who wasn't being able to work and make ends meet.
Right.
So she started doing porn to be able to pay her student loans, which I got to tell you, as somebody with student loans, wish I was a little younger and hotter because I need that money somewhere.
Look at the pictures in the magazine. I'm telling you, I was like, wow.
Yeah, and they're all ages. They are all ages.
Wow. I was shocked.
There's hope for us. No, I'm teasing. My mother's going to be listening going, you're out.
I was really shocked. I was like, wow. But people really want to sleep with this. But I'm telling you, you have to see the GF experience.
Right.
First of all, there are some real wackos out there with like real fetishes. And you say to yourself, this is really going on.
Yeah.
Like the role playing and this and that and crazy situations that she puts herself in.
Yeah, so imagine that a guy has some sort of fetish and his wife just won't do it and he needs that itch scratched. You know, and there's a lot of women out there.
He needs a lot of things scratched.
But you know, the thing with fetishes, you know, it's not always, it's not sexual. It's sexual in nature, but it's not always intercourse.
Right.
So, you know, so a wife may say, you know what? I'm not into tying you up. I'm not into, you know, whatever your fetish is, you know, licking your feet or whatever. Go find a woman. Go lick her feet. Go lick her feet and then come home, you know?
Crazy.
But
it
I
really
have to
is
say
nuts.
That is why, to me, I mean, hey, listen, I'm not condemning it. I'm not condoning it. I mean, to each his own. And I believe that. I do feel that, as crazy as it sounds, I mean, and not from a moral standpoint of view, because I have some issues with that. And my mother's probably listening going, oh, my gosh, my daughter, you shouldn't, you know. But I do feel as though it's their own life. And you know what? If they
That's
choose,
mommy calling. Turn off your phone.
Exactly. That's your mother calling right now to be like, are you talking about prostitutes?
Oh, are you talking? Are you saying that it's okay to legalize it because it's so wrong? And don't get me wrong. And that's her opinion. But why not? To me, it's like, it's
hey,
our
taxes.
Bodies.
Take taxes
we
from men.
That's the other thing. it's a multi-billion dollar industry. Can you imagine how much money and taxes that industry can bring to this country?
Yeah.
Yes, like, please. Legalize
seriously,
that.
Give at us $4,000 an hour. Gosh, I mean,
you.
Why go to college? No, I'm teasing. That's not a good job. Why?
No, but you're right. No. They do make a lot of money. And that's,
yeah.
You know, that's one of the great like problems with this country and the tax system. So it's like,
right.
Because it's illegal, it doesn't mean it's not happening. So it's happening. It's like alcohol during prohibition, or it's like,
right.
You know, cigarette smoke or pot smoke. It's like,
right.
It's happening. So we need the money. This country is definitely in debt. We know that. Why do I have to keep paying my tax dollars when there's some prostitute living on Park Avenue making a fortune?
Yeah,
maybe we won't have her pay taxes.
Maybe we won't have a deficit anymore. $13 trillion. I don't know.
It'll certainly make a dent. I mean,
exactly.
Really, if you think about how many billions are spent,
exactly.
It'll certainly make
billions
a huge
on sex.
Dent.
Exactly. We could get out of debt because of sex in this country. But I have to say, I could never understand why it was never legalized. When, I don't know, like, why not? If a woman wants to go out and if she wants to, it's basically like a dating service. But if they want to have sex and if they want to get paid for it, half these women do it for free anyway. Why not get paid at this point?
That's so
seriously.
True.
I mean, hey, I got to be honest with you, and God forgive me, but I really mean this. For half these hoochie mamas out there that are just sleeping around for nothing, why not get paid $4,000 an hour? I mean,
what
you're
suckers.
You have a bad reputation.
No, but it's true. Right. All these nymphomaniacs out there that just want sex and sex. And trust me, I've known a few growing up and everything, and they're sleeping with that one. I don't know. Why not just, you know, look great, get paid for it, go, you know, let them go. Fix you up in Chanel and go to a great restaurant and go back to his place. And I don't know. That sounds horrible, probably.
Ew.
And I'm so going to get in trouble for this.
No,
one.
You're not going to get in trouble.
But it's my opinion, and
is.
I feel like I make a lot of sense.
You made a really great point, because there are women out there who are nymphomaniacs, who really enjoy sex. And they just, I mean, I knew a woman like that in college. And I just thought, like, at first I was like, what a whore. And then I realized, no, she just really enjoys lots of indiscriminate sex.
Mm.
And because she didn't want to basically, like, sleep where she ate. She didn't want to have sex with guys on campus because she didn't want to run into them somewhere. So she would come with us downtown Washington, D.C., because I went to University of Maryland. So we went down to Washington, D.C., and she would, like, just pick up guys at bars or whatever. And that's, you know, it scratched her itch.
Yeah.
And she was really into it. And I thought, that's the kind of woman who would really benefit from being a sex worker and making money doing it.
Yeah.
Wow. I never had
doing
a one-night
anyway.
Stand.
You never had a one-night stand?
Never.
Do you know neither did
ever.
I? And I'm not just saying that just to act like, because I'm so not prim and proper, but I never did either.
No.
I never did.
I think it...
Now I kind of wish I did.
Yeah, me too in the past. Come on,
now we're in my 40s. Like, oh my gosh, we never did
but
that.
But Nicole, I could see you not having a one-night stand because you see, you know, you're a little more shy and prim and proper. And whereas, you know, Teresa's more like me. Like, Teresa likes sex. She likes men. And you would think that somewhere along the
line...
And meanwhile,
growing up, it was so funny because even when I was a teenager, I was so loyal. Like, I never cheated on my boyfriend. Even like, I mean, it was so like, and Nicole was like, oh my God. Nicole was a teenager and she would be like, it would be prom and she would be dating someone and then she would be dating his best friend down the street. Valentine's Day, she was getting all these like hearts and flowers and little fur vests, and she was like, she was throwing one in the closet, then the other one was coming out at like 17. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I love to kiss.
Well, that's good. I mean,
yeah,
so you
kissing
had a,
was like romantic.
So do you have
passionate.
A kissing one night stand?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Always kiss a lot of frogs.
Okay. Well, that's a type
kissing,
of one night stand.
But never past first base. That was it.
Right.
Kissing.
My girlfriends
innocent.
And I, we each had our thing that we liked. You know, like I had a girlfriend who really enjoyed anal sex, and she had a lot of one
okay.
night. I'm not even joking. She had a lot of
come
one
on,
night
Cooper.
Stand. Yeah, I'm not joking at all. Like that was her thing. Like take
wow.
me to dinner.
No.
Like touch my butt
and
then leave
me over.
Me. Yes. Yes, that was her thing. That was her thing.
All right, this podcast is beyond R. No little kids, turn it off. No. What's that, Mom?
I liked. How do I put it? Like, okay, I'll be cleaner about it. I
no,
liked to,
it's okay. We're adults here.
Yeah, I mean, when I was
brown eyed girl.
No. I like to give a guy a hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, so
oh, okay.
that so I had
massages.
I didn't have one night stands. I had one night hands.
Okay.
I can't
listen. That's a very important sense. Touch. You know what I have to say?
Exactly.
That's why I think it's so important. And like whether, like when you do, you know, date, whether you get married, when you do find the right person, you really have to be compatible in the department of having sex, intimacy. You have to.
No
why
question.
Get married if someone's going to go?
Best thing
to
ever.
Be honest with you, that was always my thing. I'm not going to not do something so that what? Just as though for me, if I wanted something, I would expect the person I'm with to fulfill that, because if that person is not fulfilling it, somebody else is.
Right. We've talked about that before, that you have to be compatible. If both of you are not into sex,
absolutely.
That's great. If both of you are really into sex, that's great. The idea is that if one is really into, one is really not into, that's just not compatible.
It's not
you should be one way or the other. It's just
exactly.
that the two of you should have the same libido and the same vibe.
Totally.
Right. But you can be stimulated in so many different ways. Like
right. Like to me, as
right.
I noticed in my 40s,
like
I'm so much more
mentally.
Like deeper. No, I agree. And not deeper that way. I mean like
no pun intended.
No, I mean like the whole kissing thing and just as a woman and as a very strong woman, I think just to have that like protector and someone to really be there for you is such a turn on to me.
Right.
I think, you know, as when men, I think it's always external, like sex, you know? And
yeah,
I think,
you know, it's interesting.
I don't know.
It's
that's how I
the
am
things,
anyway.
Yeah, I mean, as you get older, like I find that what used to turn me on about men, like was a great pair of shoulders or a really cute butt or great abs. Now it's like somebody who's really intelligent that I feel close with, that I'm deep, that I have a deep connection with. It's weird the things that start to turn you on as you get older.
So
you know?
True.
Me
so
too.
True.
Me too. Like make me laugh, make me smile, like tell me stories. Like
right.
just like, yeah.
Like stimulate my brain.
Right. No, I mean, yeah.
But it's true.
But
it is
100%
true.
True.
And I do mean that. Stimulate my brain, take care of my heart, and everything else just comes. And that to me is a turn on. That's what otherwise
that.
It's like
yeah.
when those other things aren't there, I'm like, ugh, get away from me.
Yep.
Like,
exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah.
We have such an array of different listeners.
We do.
We really do. My
really...
son and all his friends listen to it. Oh, and talking about my son, Cooper, do you know what happened this week, Tim?
What?
Boxing. You know, he's a boxer. Broke his finger.
What?
Yeah, broke his finger, his thumb. He's not boxing. So you know what I told him? Speaking, it's funny because I made him laugh. I'm like, he goes, I'm sparring again tonight. I said, no, you're not. The doctor said 3 weeks. I said, you're going to need those fingers. Take care of them.
What's he going to need them for?
Take care of his girl one day.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. That's a conversation you have with your son.
Well, he's 20. I did tell him. No, no, listen. I did tell him he has to hold a baby one day. I'm like, any grandchildren, you got to pick him up. You got to hold your baby. I did. No, I really did.
Of course, my thought is you're kicking him out. He needs his thumb to hitchhike his way wherever he's going. Like,
please.
But I have to say,
my baby. My
talking
baby,
about the wide array of listeners that we have, we do have listeners from young teenagers to like, old grandma and grandpas that we have listening all the time.
Right.
It's awesome. And we did see a big fan of ours who listens every week, Gemma.
Gemma,
and
she's
she
a
is
sweetheart.
Turning. She lives in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Toronto. And Teresa and I drove to meet her and her family in Philadelphia.
Nice.
This week, yes. And we got to meet her. And she's absolutely beautiful. And she listens to the podcast, her and her mom.
Oh, so
and
nice.
her
she
whole
went to see
family.
Justin Bieber.
Every single
stop it right
week.
Now.
And I hope they gave her good seats.
I hope they did
she's
too.
She's the sweetest kid. And sometimes, you know what she told me? How mean? She's in a wheelchair and she buys tickets sometimes. Her mother will spend a fortune. Her mother is
$2,000.
$2,000 on seats all the way up front. And sometimes it's not wheelchair accessible. So
and
they put her all the way
all
in the
way
back.
On top.
How do
no.
you do that?
Shame
not
on
acceptable.
Them.
Shame on
yeah,
them.
Yeah, shame on them, especially because she spent the money.
And
yeah.
she spent the money. And I hope they took great care of her because she is a doll and we love her. Thank you for listening.
All right, well, we got to leave it right there. Thank you so much for listening. We've come to another end of this week's Girls in Heels. Please tell people about us because that's, you know, that's how the show does. We need you to help us out. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Teresa, Nicole, and I are back next week with another exciting episode of Girls in Heels.
Kisses.
Kisses.
Have a wonderful day and week.